Great to have y'all here today. It's a beautiful day. Excited that y'all are all here. My heart for this message series and Ties That Bind is all about strengthening our relationships and recognizing, like, this is what God's put on me for this year. It's to connect to Him and connect to each other. And my heart for you is that you are connected to God and the people that He's placed in your life. And so this series is all about this. And today's message is pretty cool and unique. Before I get into that, though, like, we're a mission-driven church, just so you know, that 10% of everything that we take in, 10% of our gross revenue goes into missions, both locally and internationally. And Pastor Josh talked about Pastor Willem Nel in South Africa, who's done an amazing work and still is. And what's really cool is that in a society that is post-apartheid, they are an intercultural church where you see both the Afrikaners and the black community coming together. And that is an anomaly there, and particularly in a city that's primarily 70% Afrikaners, which is not the norm. And so to see that integration is really awesome. And for me as a pastor to be a part of that is huge, because we're called to break down the barriers of pride, poverty, and prejudice, but not just in our country alone. And we love Pastor Willem. My wife and I personally and our church has been blessed by him, but also because y'all don't know this, but I got a South African son. Y'all know that? Y'all probably didn't, huh? Yeah, it's not with Lisa though, because he's adopted. And that's Shamaray. Where's Shamaray? He's in the back. Y'all look back. Give Shamaray a hand. His daddy is the pastor that oversees all of those churches. Shamaray is down here. Y'all saw him playing on guitar. I actually gave him a guitar years ago that I think you gave to somebody else, didn't you? And he's a phenomenal guitarist and was actually the guitarist with One Crown in South Africa, which was actually top of the charts and won a Grammy for the South African version in the Christian music realm. But he's ultimately going to be moving here with his soon-to-be wife. And so we're excited to have them here. So give Shamaray a hand. Love his daddy, so on his best. And we're honored to have him. And so the message today really is about relationships that last. I've known Pastor Willem for, 10 years, babe, maybe more. And as a church, we've been around for 13 years and feel like we're really just getting started. I also feel that in many relationships that I have. As a young person, I heard older people say, when you're 40, it's like somebody says, here's your brain. And I found that to be true. So I feel like I'm just at the beginning of something. I also feel that, like, now that I have some gray in my beard, I can say some things that otherwise I couldn't. And I realize where gray comes from. Y'all know where gray hair comes from and gray beards come from? Stress, pain, kids, misery, all of it. That's where it comes from. But let me just tell you, God's purpose for us in pain is to turn it around so that people can see how amazing God is as He walks with us through pain. And that's really what the story that we're talking about today. We're looking at Luke chapter 15. I titled this Living in a Lasting Relationship. And I want you to have relationships that last. Because I really believe that God divinely appoints, like, God-given relationships. How to have relationships that last. Now, here's the shtick on this, is that it's not always up to you if the relationship lasts or not. Sometimes you have a relationship that you feel is a God relationship, but people peace out and you never see them again. And we're going to talk about that today and how to have a relationship that lasts. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 15. I told the first service that they were my guinea pigs. And every pastor I know that does multiple services, they say, man, my first service, I feel like it's the guinea pigs. Y'all not the guinea pigs, but it was good this first service. We'll see how it is second. Y'all got to talk to me, though. Can y'all do that? Yeah. Good. All right. In Luke chapter 15, we see three parables, three stories that Jesus tells. In the first story, he tells the story of the lost sheep, that a shepherd has 100 sheep, and when he puts them in the pen at night to keep them safe, he realizes he only has 99. So he locks up the 99, puts them in the safe corral, and then he leaves to go and find the one lost sheep. It's the heart of a father. Then we see in the next parable, it's the parable of the woman who had 10 coins, and she lost one, and they were valuable. And so she turns her house upside down, recruits help, help me find this lost coin, and she's looking for this one lost coin, this one lost thing. And then the third story, and the one we're looking at today, is the parable of the prodigal son. The heading in my Bible says, the parable of the lost son. And each of these three stories are all about God's heart for what is valuable. And Jesus ends this parable recognizing for us, I hope, like showing us that it's relationship that matters. My prayer for you is that you connect to God and you connect to godly people. That's my prayer. You connect to God and you connect to godly people. If you can do those two things, you are connected to God in such a manner that you're living out his purpose and his plan for your life in this Bible. And you're connected to people that you know are divine relationships, you will fulfill the call that is on your life. Because listen to me, everybody has a call on their life. It's not just the guy that's up here on a platform preaching. It's not just the person who's like playing a guitar and singing or playing an instrument. It's not just the person that goes on a mission field. All of us have a call of God on our life. And when you're connected to him, like truly, and you're connected to godly people who encourage you and help equip you and empower you to be what you're called to be, you can be working at Walmart and fulfilling God's call on your life. Amen. We all have that, but here's the problem, and that's why this story is so powerful for us today. What derails most people is pain in relationship. And that is what this story is all about. So let's start reading. Y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Because we're going to be Luke 15. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, go to the Connection Center. Tell them, Pastor Todd said he'd get me a Bible. I'm not going to get you a Bible, but the church's going to get you a Bible. We'll buy you a Bible. We'll give you a Bible. Just sign up to get a Bible. Why? Because God's word is alive. It makes a massive difference in our lives if we apply it. Don't just hear it, but we actually live by it. And so I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, it's all right. If you got a smartphone, and everybody does, you can download a Bible app. Follow along. We're starting at verse 11. It's talking about the lost sheep and the lost coin. Then he says, to illustrate the point further, it says, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. What a great son. Surely make his father proud. This man has two sons, and the youngest son says, Dad, I want what you got right now. I'm too impatient to wait for when you die. I want it. You realize how disrespectful that is. He's like, give me your inheritance now. I don't want you to wait for you to die. I wish you'd hurry up and die so that I can get your stuff because that's the value that I place on the relationship, just what you can physically give me. So why don't you get out of the way, give me my inheritance, and leave me alone. Any parents in here? How would that feel? I don't love you for who you are. I don't respect you for who you are. I just want my stuff. So why don't you hurry up and die? You're wealthy. Why don't you get out of the way and give me what I want because I could care less about how, would that be painful? This story is about the father. I can't imagine the mother. The mother would be like, I was in labor for you for 20 more hours. And now you're going to do this to your daddy and me? You know, I mean, it would be bad. That's what he says. He's like, I want my share of the estate. Here's what's crazy. And I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it because, like, I just know, like, what my daddy would have said to me if I'd have told him that. Like, he's little, but he's feisty. And violent, like it would have been a beatdown. It'd have been a bloodbath. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Andre the Giant. Your daddy's this tall. Like there's something about daddy strength. Like you cannot punch as hard as you normally can if it's your dad. Like you can't win. Y'all know what I'm saying? That's right. But look at this. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Both his sons get an inheritance. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land where he wasted all his money in wild living. About this time, his money ran out. Doesn't it always? Let's just be honest. When you're living stupid, doesn't everything good run out? Whew! About this time, his money ran out and a great famine swept over the land. Let me just tell you, when you live for yourself long enough, all of your resources are going to run out and you're going to be at the place where you're living hungry. Hungry for something. And he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. Depravity knows no bounds. When you have lived solely for yourself, you will consume things that are disgusting. That's why you see, that's why you see old men that are going to jail for crimes with little kids. I'm just saying. You're 70-some years old. What's the matter with you? Let me tell you what's the matter. They lived in a place where they were spiritually starved, and they're consuming and living off things that no normal person would. Am I getting too real here? But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming." Man, I'm blown away by the dad in this story. His son totally disrespected him, said, I want you out of the way. Just give me your stuff. That's all I really care about." His dad says, "Okay." His son leaves, squanders all of the money. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. What was his father filled with? Filled with what? Love and compassion. That's hard. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father," listen how key this is, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you." I'm marking that in my Bible because that's key. "I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." So I have sinned against both heaven and you. Was that true? Yes. "I am no longer worthy of being called your son." We're not going to debate the validity of whether that's true or not. The reality here is the truth. He was still his son. Just got to see that right there. Sorry. "But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began." Pretty cool, isn't it? What can we learn from this message? I don't have a whole ton. It's pretty simple. Here's the first thing that you can learn. If you want a lasting relationship, here it is. Ready yourself for the pain. Because every relationship that's worth having, every relationship that has any time and depth on it, is going to involve pain. So if you want relationships that last and you have an aversion to pain, you will not have relationships that last. Simple as can be. You have to be willing to work through the pain to get to the place where you can have the relationship that God intended you for you to have. But you'll never get there if you don't prepare for the pain. Do you think the father was hurt by what his son did? Yeah, absolutely. Of course, if you're a parent in here, you know how painful that could be. If you're not a parent in here, if you're just a kid, let me just remind you, your words and actions have massive consequences. And you can get what you want and still be miserable. I just want y'all to hear that. If you're young, you can do what you want, you can get what you want, and it will not bring you satisfaction. It will bring you fun for a little while. The Bible says that. It is fun for a little while, but after a while, the fun goes away. When's the last time y'all saw a 60-year-old at the club? And if they're there, they weird as all get out. You don't want nothing to do with them. It's like, what's the matter with that guy? And because everybody else is feeling, which is funny to me. It's true, though, isn't it? Stay away from that creep. But even young people are like, what are they doing? That's kind of crazy. Why are they up over here? Let me just tell you, even the other 60-year-olds have figured out there's not much life in that. It's only for a season. You have to ready yourself. If you want a lasting relationship, you have to recognize that there's going to be pain. there's going to be problems. There's going to be things that will potentially wreck a relationship. So what is your responsibility in that moment or in that season or in that really long, long, prolonged winter in that relationship? Because here's what you have to realize. You're not promised a lasting and long relationship with people, because for a relationship to work, it takes two people. The thing that is surprising to me as I read this with fresh eyes was that the father did not try to control the situation. He didn't say to his son, "You think I'm going to give you ungrateful brat, what you deserve? Like, you think you deserve? You want me out of the way? Oh, you're going to find me. I'm all up in your way." And then the beatdown commences. I'm just saying, that's how I grew up. Like, if I'd have told my daddy that, I'd have been hurt bad. Anybody else? Come on. I didn't have a Cajun daddy. I had a German daddy. That's even worse. He didn't try to control the situation. The father in this story didn't try to control the situation. Freedom is the foundation for healthy relationships. Do you understand that? Anybody here bend towards control? Come on, raise your hand if you bend towards control. See, I don't like that I asked you to even raise your hand, because you want to raise it on your own volition, not because I'm telling you to raise it. I got your number. I get it. If you want a relationship that lasts, you have to ready yourself for the pain. You have to manage expectations, because brokenness is part of this world. God's heart is not for you to live in broken relationships. God's heart is not for God-ordained relationships. If you're married, that's a God-ordained relationship. If you got family, those are God-ordained relationships. But you are not always responsible for what happens in the relationship. So many people are messed up because somebody in the relationship did something that broke the relationship. But just a reminder, when relationships are broken, it's because people are. Your responsibility is to be healthy and be what God's called you to be, and you can't always fix. Really, you can almost never fix the other person. All you can do is inwardly look and go, "God, what is it that I need to be so that I can look like this father?" This father who believed the best about his son, even when his son was at his worst. If you want relationships that last, get ready for the pain, because somebody's going to let you down. Somebody's going to hurt you. Some broken person that you were in relationship that you didn't think was broken had an area of brokenness, and it manifested itself in pain. How do you respond? I have two German shepherds. They're great dogs. Sort of. Our younger dog, Zane. It's Hebrew for God's protection. And he's huge. He's over 100 pounds. He's massive. And he's a doggy dog. And we sort of love Zane. Loved him more before we got our second dog that was given to us by a vet. First Cav, 19 Delta vet, military trained dog. He's a little bit older. And his name's Zeus, which is the god of war. I didn't name him. But we have Zane, and now we have Zeus. And Zane and Zeus, they hate each other with a passion. I mean, poor Zeus is actually a good dog. He's sweet as all get out. But Zane has taken offense that Zeus, who's been with us for over a year now, is up in his, like, he stole his family, he stole his yard. Zane and Zeus hate each other now. So much so that they were fighting all the time, and they both got really hurt. And so we had to take them to the vet to get stitched up. And we didn't want that to happen. And so while they were there to get stitched up, we also gave them some stitches towards the rear to kind of nix that. Sort of did. They haven't been all cut up again, but this is what I found. When you're dealing with an animal that's experienced pain, one of two things happen. If you try to touch the place that's hurt, they're either going to pull away and run from you, or they're going to attack you. Because it's instinctual. When we experience pain, this is typically what we do. Unless instead of walking in our flesh, we walk by the Spirit of God, and we look at the Father here, who didn't let the pain be his motivation in how he acted. He acted with humility. He acted with control. He didn't react to the situation. He responded. He didn't try to control everything to make it right, to make it better, to keep his son from harm. He let his son do his thing because his son was old enough to do it. He readied himself for the pain. Are you willing to believe the best about the people in your life that have hurt you? Because his son went off and did some crazy, stupid stuff. But we see in the story that his father believed the best about him. And it says, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and he was filled with not bitterness and unforgiveness. He was filled with love and compassion. Do I believe the best about people and realize that when they're at their worst, I'm still called to love them? There may be a separation there. There may be a separation because of them. There may be a separation because of me, because I can't be around that brokenness that is trying to break me down. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? There may have to be that separation. But do you believe the best? That's one. Here's the second thing. Not the point. The second aspect of the father. One, he was believing the best. The second was he was willing to wait. He was willing to wait. Are you able to wait with the right heart for people who have hurt you and wronged you in relationships that have gone wrong? Are you willing to wait? If in this we are having the heart of the father, we are trusting God, believing the best, waiting it out, not trying to control it. All those people that raise their hands for control, let me tell you what I learned. When you try to control situations relationally, when you try to control other people in the relationship, most of the time you're doing it because you want things to work out. But what you don't realize is that you end up hurting the people that you are trying to make better, because all you can see is the faults in them, because it's so hard to see the faults in you. This is why God gave us eyes at the front of our head, so that we can see very clearly everything around us, but the things that are closest to us. I can't see my face right now. I can't see the thing that's closest to me. But other people can see that in you, and control says this: I see all of your problems and I'm gonna fix them. Not recognizing that the greater step of maturity and understanding and depth of truth in the relationship is to be able to hear what somebody is saying, receive it, and apply it. I hope that makes sense. Does that make sense? You live in the place of pain through control, trying to alleviate the pain, only making it worse. So I put, keep realistic expectations, keep an open heart, keep an open home. Here's the second thing. Remember that it's not about you. You want lasting relationships? You have to remember that it's not about you. The father does such a great job of not making it about himself. Okay, what you did was hurtful. It was painful. Here you go. Watched his son tank his life. Believed the best. Waited. Those who have hurt you, those who have walked away, this is so painful. It's so painful. You have to keep an open heart. You have to keep an open home. You have to believe the best. And it's a process. It's a process. You have to remember it's not about you. The father knew that from the beginning. For a long time in my relationship with my wife, I made it about me. Thinking that, man, she just get her stuff together, everything would be all right. How foolish, how stupid. How stupid. I was the son. Are you stupid in your relationships? I was for long, long, years and years and years and years. And that sounds offensive, doesn't it? But men, many of you are stupid in your relationships. I don't say that ugly. I just say that factually. Like, we just are. We're dumb. We make it about our good intentions. Like, I'm trying to make it better, but you end up making it worse because you're trying to do it your way and not willing to humble yourselves. So I'm just going to... He wasted all his money. It ran out. He was hungry. He was eating garbage. What are you doing with the good things in your life, the seed that you have? What are you doing with it? Where are you sowing it? What are you consuming? Man, what are you consuming? Anyway. Verse 17, when he finally came, you don't have to put it on the screen. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, what do you say to yourself? Remember, it's not about you. What do you say to yourself and about other people? Stop, y'all, look at me. What do you say about yourself and what do you say about other people? I'm gonna say it again because it's important. What do you say about yourself? What do you say about other people? Because from what Jesus says, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you are continually speaking hatred and negativity about yourself and hatred and negativity about the people in your life, listen to me, you can do either one of those. You will not have healthy relationships because you're speaking death and you're speaking that which is not true. You're just speaking from your perspective because you've made it about you. It's not about you. Look at what he says. He says, I'm going to go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And he returned to his father. But his father was waiting for him. How do you not make it about you? Well, you have to admit your wrongs. You want a lasting relationship? Are you able to admit your wrongs? I said sorry 1,000 times. I'm sorry. I'm sorry is not admitting wrongs. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. When it is different. I remember when my wife said, stop saying you're sorry, just change. Do you admit you're wrong? It's different than saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry is like gloss it over. Let's move on. Let's forget about that. Are you willing to go, you know what? I messed up and I messed up here and this is how I did it. Are you willing to admit your wrongs? Look what this son did. The guy who really so wrong. I'm going to go home. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, Father, I sinned against both heaven and you. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. He was his son. He just felt like he wasn't worthy to be called that. And I'm going to comment on this. It wasn't a son that his daddy was proud of. His daddy had love for him and his daddy had compassion for him. But he's not somebody that he wanted to call a son, I would imagine. Because this isn't how a son or a daughter is supposed to act. But he was willing to admit his wrongs. And he was willing, this is key, you should probably write this down. To make it not about you, you have to be willing to admit your wrongs. You have to be willing to repent. That means turn from how you've acted. And you have to be willing to take the lesser role. This is a heart issue. It's not my way or the highway. Some of y'all probably said that. Some of y'all many of you have definitely thought it's my way or the highway. Some of you may not have said it or thought it, you just lived it. Take the lesser role. Do you want a relationship that lasts? If you want to experience relationships that last, you have to realize pain's part of the process, so ready yourself for that. Prepare yourself for the pain. It's coming. How will you respond? Will you respond by withdrawing or attacking, or will you live by God's Spirit because you're giving it to Him? It's not about you, and you're able to admit your wrongs, and you're able to believe the best about the other person. Like, you can admit your wrongs. You can believe the best because all of this applies to us, that you can take the lesser role because it's not about you. We're going to read the rest of it. Y'all ready? Are y'all alive out there? Because y'all, okay, wow, y'all really quiet, but not when I said all right. Y'all yell at me. That's good. Are we getting whipped? I'm not trying to whip y'all. This was whipping me. I'm just saying, this is whipping me. Meanwhile, so we see the father and we see the son, but the older son also got his inheritance. Y'all remember that, right? The older son was in the fields working, and when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. So the older son outbusting his butt like he has been. And he asked one of the servants what was going on. Like, he's coming in from work. And he's like, what's happening? Your brother's back. How happy you think he was? And your father has killed the fatted calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return. And the older brother was angry. I completely understand that. Wouldn't you be miffed? But what are you talking about? Look what it says. He was angry. He wouldn't go in. He wouldn't even go see his brother. His father came out and begged him. He replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. I was the obedient one. I'm the one out working. And then he says this, and in all of that time, you never, ever gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. Okay, I'm just saying, that's a legitimate argument. Like, I'd be mad too. Like, wouldn't you be mad? Come on. Y'all wouldn't be mad? I'd be mad. I'm just saying, like, in my flesh, I would be mad. His father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me. Everything I have is yours. I want you to think about that because it was very true. His brother had nothing. He'd squandered it all. We had to celebrate this happy day. For your brother was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, now he's found. How do you respond when broken people come back and are blessed? How do you respond when the people in the relationship that have done you wrong, have acted wrongly, have hurt people that you love, how do you respond when they're blessed? Do you want relationships that last? Do you? Pain's part of the process. You have to ready yourself for the pain. Ready yourself for the pain. Remember that it's not about you. Don't be the brother who holds wrongs over people's heads. Don't be the older brother. Don't be the younger brother that refuses to humble himself and admit wrongs like he finally did. In this whole story, the father's obviously a father of character and love and compassion and forgiveness and understanding. The younger son, I want you to follow this. The younger son screwed up royally, but he humbled himself, took the lesser role, and said, I'll come back under the worst of circumstances. Like anything you say, Dad, I'll just be a servant. That's the heart. The older brother. Is the older brother is the issue? Maybe you're an older brother. Maybe you're the one that's had trouble forgiving and releasing. I don't know. Still got one more point though. Y'all ready? We're wrapping up though. Where's Tej? He can come up because I don't have a bunch left. Kids church is going to hate me because we're ending early. They got that big shindig. I don't know if y'all's kids are excited about that. Mine were super excited. Experience relationships that last. Realize that pain's part of the process. Actually, it should say, I don't know why I didn't change it. Ready yourself for the pain, because pain coming. Listen to me, pain coming in life. Get ready for it. You got to prepare for it. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody's going to hurt you, and you need to decide now how you're going to respond, and you need to play that over and over in your head, not in a negative, sick, depressive way, but recognizing that pain's part of life. It is part of the process. How you respond to it will determine the quality of the relationships. And the pain's either going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. It's the I that makes the difference. And that I needs to say, I will not make it about me. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to admit my wrongs. I'm going to take the lesser role, because we all want to be the father, but there are times where we will all be the younger son. Pain's part of the process. It's not about you. And here's this last one, and it's really key. You have to recognize the brevity of life. That's how fast life is. Paul says it's like a vapor. Y'all go out on cold mornings and like, with coronavirus, ain't nobody doing that. But you go out on a cold morning, like, and you can see, and then it just, Paul says that's what life is like. I got a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old. How did that happen? I'm still 23, right? I saw a picture of myself from 2 years ago, and I'm like, nobody was around. I blushed. I'm like, where did the gray come from? I got gray hair and gray face, and now I'm like that. Life is very, 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 very short. It goes fast. Lasting relationships seem momentary. I mean, it seems like yesterday, baby, we moved into the barn. Right after we got married, we moved into the barn. We renovated an old barn and we lived in that. Then the trailer. Then the house that flooded all the time. We had to keep our furniture up on blocks because it flooded so much. Luckily, it had terrazzo floors. It flooded for every heavy rain, and I had to caulk the sliding glass door to the outside, and we would watch the water get this deep by the house. It was a blessing, but when it rained, we flooded. It seems like yes. Does you remember all that stuff really clearly? How about y'all? Do you remember life 10 years ago? Do you remember it? Like that, it's gone. Make the commitment. It's not a one-time commitment. It's the daily commitment. It goes by quick. And now, just because I'm the pastor and I get to show you some really cool things. Can we put that picture up? It's 1942. That's my grandfather, Vernon Schumacher. His first language was German. He's wearing an aviator's outfit because when he was at Sam Houston University in East Texas, the Army gave a ground course to fly. And the top student would have all of their flight instruction paid for. My grandfather finished first. He's half German and half Jewish. Kind of looks it, doesn't he? Well, the Jewish side for sure. And then the war was already going on. So as soon as he graduated, guess what happened? He's in the Army. He was a glider pilot. Gliders were made of balsa wood and canvas. They were towed behind C-130s. They could hold 30 men. Or a Jeep or a howitzer. He flew with the 82nd Airborne. He flew North Africa, where this picture was taken. He flew Malta. He flew Sicily. He flew Italy. He flew Battle of the Bulge. And we've not found whether or not he flew D-Day, though a lot of them did. It's a very dangerous occupation. It was actually the highest KIA, killed in action rate, percentage of anybody in the military in World War II. Over 70% of his friends never came home. All of these pictures I'm showing you, we never saw until his funeral. In his will, he asked that he have a full military funeral and he wear his glider wings. And we didn't even know we knew that he was a glider pilot, but nobody knew what that was, and he never said a single thing about the war. Next picture is Cottesmore, England. This would have been the beginning of Operation Market Garden, the invasion, the failed invasion of Belgium. We lost really bad that invasion. This is them on the ground. The next picture is them getting ready to go on a mission. I have my grandfather's debriefing report from Operation Market Garden. He received an air medal, and he has 5 bronze stars. Saw a lot of action. And so this is them on day one of the invasion in his debriefing report. And I find it hard to believe. I actually found years ago his commanding officer, Colonel Washburn, who lived in Houston and contacted him. And he confirmed the debriefing report and the fact that my grandfather, because he was stationed at headquarters, got to place himself where he wanted. And he was the number one glider in, which is hard to believe. But I've got it in blue and white, old ditto pages from the military. he was quite the man. Next, this is going into Operation Mark of God. Can I just brag on my grandfather? This is part of what I'm doing. I get to honor him. And this is, he's the number one glider. They have other C-130s, but there's no other gliders. He's the number one glider. Interesting, at the funeral, though we knew nothing about it, about his military career, he was actually co-pilot in this mission because he was out of headquarters. The pilot, who was also a captain, they were both captains, showed up at the funeral randomly and told us about all of it. Pretty crazy, huh? Next picture. That's my grandfather, left seat helm, you know, at the controls in his glider. The next one. This is after a mission. That's him right there with the cigarette and the sunglasses, little guy. After a successful mission where they came back alive. Remember, 70% of them died in action. And this is the coolest picture ever, isn't it? That's him right there. Now, he was the son of immigrants. Those are my great-grandparents on both sides that immigrated. Can we show that next picture? That's my Jewish great-grandfather, who was born in Hungary, ended up moving to Munich, and then at 16 years old with his 19-year-old brother, they immigrated to the United States. Just so you know, they didn't have any paperwork back then. None. My grandparents on the other side were Italians from Cefalù, Sicily. They were WOPs. Do y'all know what that means? That means they entered without papers. It's not a derogatory term. It was. So he immigrated. I have the Bible. He was messianic, obviously. He was a Christian. He immigrated with a Bible that actually has a place of honor in my home that's all in German, that's all marked up. This is my great-grandmother. I never met either one of them. But I was really close with my grandfather. At 16, he died, and I didn't understand. Like, I knew he was sick, and I understood. But, like, the pain of, like, losing somebody that you love, you remember the oddest things. I remember going to Parker's and Jennings, where I lived, and getting a new pair of cowboy boots for the funeral. And, you know, it was really sad. But you don't know everything. You can't comprehend everything that's going on. And I remember my grandmother talking and my dad talking about Opa. So my grandparents are Oma and Opa. It's German for grandmother and grandfather. My dad's Opa, and what a godly man. And I have his Bible that's all marked up from 1910 that proves it. My grandfather was a godly man, loved God with all of his heart, wasn't very expressive, was a very quiet man. He was an engineer, worked for ARCO for years as a mechanical engineer. Him and my grandmother was so involved with church, and just my grandfather, not necessarily so much. He went, but he loved the Lord, and they'd argue, and I remember the arguments. It wasn't a perfect relationship, and I'm going to cuss. It's going to be okay, because it's fond for me. I remember these memories. They'd start bickering. Well, my grandfather had almost no hearing, those old school big hearing aids, and she'd start fussing, and he'd go, "Damn it, Mama," and he'd turn them off. But he loved the Lord. And he taught my dad to love the Lord. And I am where I am because of a lasting relationship that began here. I don't know where my family comes from outside of this, but they love the Lord with all of their heart. My grandfather and my grandmother loved the Lord with all of their heart. Were their relationships perfect? I don't know about here. I know my grandmother and my grandfather had their odds and ends, but they were able to make it last for almost 50 years. My mom and my dad have been married, oh Lordy, 46 years now. Whether you're married or not is inconsequential to this truth. Your relationships outlive your life. Do you know that? And generations that you will never meet are impacted by how you live your life. Please, please, let's all live with humility. I'm preaching to me here. Live with humility. Defer to God. Defer to other people. You want a relationship that lasts? Do the hard work. Everything changes. It doesn't matter. When you stay the course, so does your family. And you may say, but my family's broken and messed up. Guess what? God will give you family. That's what the church is. The address is 4006 Travis Street, Dallas. It's still there today, but none of those houses are there. Everything looks different, but you know what remains? The love that was here. The love that was here for God and the people in their life. Please, I feel like my wife and I have talked through this. I feel like I waste like 10 years of our marriage was wasted. It wasn't. God redeems all that. But oh God, how I wish I could go back and fix that stuff. I can't. But you know what I can do? And you know what you can do? You can recognize how fast 10 years goes by. If you're young here, listen to me, it goes so fast. Do what's right. Give it to God. Give it to other people. Let's bow our heads. If you're here, you say, Pastor, this message is for me. I needed that. I want to pray for you. No strings attached. That's it. I just want to pray for you. If you're here, say, Pastor, pray for me. I needed that. Raise your hand. Father, I pray for everybody with their hands raised. Lord, may we never forget how short life is. I pray that they never forget that, that today is marked in their heart and their soul, and they give their relationships to you because they've given themselves to you, and they don't make it about them. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're here, and today you really are. Like, you're the prodigal child. You've been running from God. He is the father in this story. He's filled with love and compassion towards you. And he's been watching and waiting for you to return to him, you to turn to him. He's got a place for you. He's got a family for you. But like the son in this story, it begins when you admit your wrongs. And just like this son, you say, I've sinned. And you go home. You may think that you're not worthy, but you're still his child and you get a place of honor. Are you here and you know that you need to say, I've sinned. I'm coming to you. Maybe you're here and that's where you are. And today that God's showing you that he's been waiting for you. He's filled with love and compassion for you. He has a place of honor for you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm that person and I'm turning to him today. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you over here. Thank you right there. I see you. Thank you. Thank you back there. Let's all of us pray together. Say, Dear Jesus, I'm turning to you. I know I've sinned. I know you forgive me. I receive it. I'm your child. Thank you. Amen. Can we celebrate that? I pray that you grow and you walk with God, and you grow and you walk with God's people. That's why we exist, to reach people with the truth. God knows you and loves you. So with love and compassion, he's waiting for you to come home and then grow. Some of you in here, maybe you're the older brother. Get over yourself. God's proud of you and he loves you. Everything you have is his. We'll be out of here in less than 30 seconds. If God did something in you, please let us know so that we can help you grow and go in what he has for you. Take a moment and take your phone and go to the website, contact us, let us know what God's doing, or get on the app and do that. The best way today might be to go to the seat back in front of you, pull out the connection card, fill it out, drop it in the boxes by the doors on the way out, or bring it to the connection center. Maybe you need to pick up a Bible, or you see the crosses projected on the sidewalls. Our ministry team members are there to pray with you. Don't walk out of here if you know God's doing something in you without praying with somebody, connecting with somebody. Did y'all have fun today? Yeah. All right, y'all stand up. I know we went a little long. I did it so children's ministry wouldn't hate me. And hopefully it was good. Did y'all have fun? Yeah. Good. Listen, y'all got to know this. The best is yet to come when we follow Christ. So Father, I pray blessing on everyone here. May they know that truth, that you are for them. Lord, I just pray that you make your face to shine on them as they go out of here serving you and honoring you in all that they do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Y'all are dismissed. Have a great day.